I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 21, Peter tells us that we need to grow in grace and knowledge. And he tells us how we can do that. In verses 3 and 4, it's with precious gifts from God. Verses 3 and 4 of 2 Peter chapter 1 says, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Well, what God's divine power has given us is seen in verse 3. It's a godly life. Life and godliness, the verse says there. And this godly life comes through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And note the repeated references to all these things in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, 8, 9, 10, 12, and 15. It's through the marvelous promises of His Word that God has provided everything we need for a fruitful Christian life. Also notice in verse 4 here that we have been also been given this, an abundant. This is an exceedingly, this means large, a great number of rare. This is precious assurances. Why? That we might be partakers, participants in the divine nature, having been set free, and this means this is escaped the depravity, the corruption that is in the world through lust. Through lust, wanting things that we don't really need. The eye sees them and we want them. We desire to have something that seems to, many times is forbidden. And we see those things, but we escape those things by getting in the Word of God. And 2 Peter tells us about these things, that we've been given an abundant, a number of rare precious assurances that we're partakers of the godly nature, and we need to understand that we can escape these lusts by being partakers, by going through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has saved us. We can escape these things of this world by letting the Lord take our lives and use our lives for His honor and glory. Well, notice here, grow in grace and knowledge. And first of all, Peter says it's in verses 3 through 4 of chapter 1 with precious gifts from God. And then it's abounding in the knowledge of Christ, verses 5 through 11. Well, let's look through verses 5 and 7 at this time. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Verse 6 says, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And verse 7 says, unto godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Spiritual graces we are to diligently add to our faith, Peter says here in these verses. First of all is virtue. This is to be morally good. He says also knowledge. This is information. Temperance means self-control. This is restraint. Patience, this is perseverance, determination, determination, patiently waiting, and godliness. This means devoted to God. Brotherly kindness. This is affection as shown to a family member. And then we see the word charity. This is tender affection and compassion that we have for this world. Remember, Christ came into the world. He loved us. He loves us. And the Father loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son into this world that whosoever would believe in Jesus Christ would be saved. And that's real love. And it's through Jesus Christ, through growing in grace and knowledge of Christ, that we too can have that compassion for the lost people of this world. Now, we need to love people. Doesn't mean necessarily that we have to like what they do. We don't have to like their actions. We don't have to even like what they look like. But that's not the same as love. We can love them. We love them to the Lord by showing them godly love, by letting God come through us and show these people, the people of the world, that we love them. And it's only by the grace of God that we can do that. Because why? Because God first loved us. And now, as a result, we can love other people. Now, in verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, "For if these things be in you," that's those things that I just mentioned to you, and that the Bible tells us in verses 5 through 7. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, the results of letting the graces found in verse 7 abound in you, this is what verse 8 is talking about. What happens? It says that you will be successful. Successful in what? In producing results for Jesus. And also in learning more about Christ. The more we let Jesus work through us, the more we learn about Christ, the more we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how Christians grow. It's by letting Jesus Christ overflow them, and by getting into His Word. And as we get more and more into His Word, we understand that our responsibility here on this earth, we are ambassadors for Christ. And we represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We represent the Savior who came to die for lost mankind. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." That's a Christian who's been blinded by the things of this world. That's a Christian who has gotten out of fellowship with God. And 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And that person who's gotten out of the will of God and has become blinded, Peter says in verse 9, that person who is blind cannot see afar off. They cannot see the real things of God at this point. It doesn't mean they're lost. It means that as a saved person, they've lost sight of the goal. That goal is to love God. That goal is to love Jesus Christ because He first loved us. And as a result, we're to love people and bring them to a saving knowledge. Help them to understand that Jesus wants to save them. The Bible says there in verse 9 of 2 Peter 1, that people who have gotten away from God have forgotten that he, the person who's gotten away from God, was purged from his old sins. We forget sometimes what God and what Jesus went through that we might have eternal life and that our sins would be forgiven. It's through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that our sins have been washed away. Well, those people who lack the graces of verse 7 are, according to verse 9, short-sighted. And even to the ability of understanding the very basics of the Lord, you quit growing in Jesus. They're forgetful of being freed, purged, cleansed from sins of the past. In other words, when we get out of the will of God, it's as though we have turned our back on Him. It's as though we forget what He's done for us, that He's cleansed us from all sin. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 says this, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now you notice there in verse 10, it talks about falling. It says, "Ye shall never fall." Doesn't mean that you're going to lose your salvation. It means that you've gotten away from the Lord. You've forgotten those things in that verse, in verses 5 through 7. You don't have those things because you have forgotten what God has done for you. And when you do that, you get away from the Lord. You get out of fellowship with God. And remember in that verse in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 about asking His forgiveness, not as an unsaved person, but as a saved person, He will cleanse you from your forgetfulness, and He will restore you to your rightful place. In other words, He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be full of joy. Remember, Peter talks about this in this epistle, grace and knowledge and joy. The Lord wants you to be happy. And the way we're happy is to remember where we were and where we are now, where God has brought us from. And one day we're going to see Him personally. And that should bring joy to every person who names the name of Jesus Christ. We've seen in verses 10 and 11 here in 2 Peter chapter 1, give the Christian life all you've got. You won't be confused about your salvation according to the first part of that verse in verse 10. You will never be disappointed or confused. You'll never fall. You won't be confused. You'll know who you are. And remember to give the Christian life all you've got. Being ushered into heaven, you will be ever triumphant. In other words, you will enter heaven triumphantly according to verse 11. You'll go in. And I don't believe anybody who leaves this world and goes to heaven is going to be disappointed. There's no way that you're going to be disappointed. And there's no way that you're going to be sad. You're going to be ushered into the very presence of God when you leave this world. Well, notice verses 12 through 21 talks about being stirred up by careful reminders. In chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Peter says, you know these things, and I want you to keep remembering. I want to stir you up. And I believe this is another reason that God has left us His Word, that we could remember, that we could be stirred up, we could understand that we're not alone, and that His joy might be in us as we remember. Do you know Him today as your Savior? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? Have you come to a point in your life when you realize you can't save yourself? There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Have you asked Him to save you? Have you said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive You as my Savior. If you've not done that, you need to do that right now. Bow your head where you're at and say, Lord, come into my heart. I receive You as my Savior.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That address, once again, is Dr. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You may also visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. Until the next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.